For 10,000 years, people have been walking in and around what is now southern New Mexico. Paved roads are a luxury of less than 100 years ago, but boy, that improvement was great. The interstates 10, 25, and 40 are just over 50 years old, and now southern to northern New Mexico trips are quick. Before that, it was travel New Mexico on dirt trails. Some trips took weeks upon weeks, and we're not the first people to go down the streets of our town. 400 years earlier, there were people going through our town. The first to travel on the first street. That's a question I'm always asked. What was the first street in the area? Well, stay tuned. I'll tell you about it. Michael Swickard here. Welcome to Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Our award-winning Hatch green and red chili, boy, is it good. It's from locally owned farms in Hatch, New Mexico, as you know, the chili capital of the world. Before recorded history in this area, there were paths that people followed going one place to another. Most of them were near a stream or a river, since water was the one thing people could not do without. They could go a while without a cheeseburger and fries with good green chili on the side. Not happily, but they could. They could have eating be several days apart, but water, no. That's essential to life. So the paths of New Mexico originally often were right near water. At this time, 426 years ago, in the year 1598, there was a road through southern New Mexico to an area near what is now Santa Fe. It was made by Don Juan de Onate, the leader of an expedition from what is now Mexico to explore what was then a new territory owned by the King of Spain. Don Juan de Onate was recently, though dead almost 400 years, he was caught up in 21st century politics. On the 400th anniversary of Onate and his expedition coming through what is now Las Cruces, heading north, a new high school was named the Onate High School. But 23 years later, the name was changed due to 21st century politics. Now, as a local historian, which I am, and a PhD in educational administration, I was involved in the naming of the high school to celebrate the 400th anniversary of Onate coming through our area. But 23 years later, I was not consulted as to the change away from the historical figure. Well, anyway, we're looking for the first street in our area, and I believe that search is tied to Onate and his group coming through what is now to become Las Cruces, and coming through the downtown of Las Cruces when it was just the banks of the Rio Grande. And, yeah, I know it looked just a little bit different around here back then. What we know about him is that at this time, 426 years ago, on the east banks of what is now the Rio Grande, Onate and his entourage, do you know how many there were? There were 400 of them, 400 settlers. They were able to walk through what is now downtown Las Cruces, and that was in May 1598. This was quite a group of people and animals and wagons coming through, and they followed the Rio Grande northward to always have some water, since that was important. Eventually, on July 12th, 1598, the expedition reached the connection of the Rio Grande with the Rio Chama, and they established the new Spain territory of Santa Fe de Nuevo Mexico. And this was near one of the Pueblo villages, and that's how he got to Santa Fe. And again, what I'm trying to do is look at the way people left what is now El Paso and traveled through our area, so I could come up with, and I have, what I think is the first street of Las Cruces. Michael Swickard here with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company. You can hit subscribe to automatically get these podcasts. So I was asked one time recently, as a local historian, what was the first recognized street in Las Cruces? That's a hard one because there were many trails over the years that ran along the eastern bank of the Rio Grande. We know the Oñate traveled from the west bank to the east bank in El Paso, so he came up through here on the east bank of the Rio Grande. Now, since I was born in 1950, 100 years after the founding of Las Cruces, I don't have any personal data other than the map systems, which I've been looking at for a couple of days, about shows that the Rio Grande wandered over the western side of Las Cruces and around Mesilla. A little trivia note, one of the translations of the word Mesilla is table, because the land in Mesilla is just a little bit above the land around it. That's why the river flows around it. And the land between Las Cruces and Mesilla is where often the river went, or often to the west, to the escarpment to the west. So the Rio Grande flowed between the higher ground of Mesilla and the higher ground of Las Cruces. After the Rio Grande was put into a channel and the channel was moved to the west side of Mesilla, then the river was every year exactly the same. Not so before the Rio Grande Project built the Elephant Butte Dam and all of the work downstream to make that water available to farmers. Previously, the Rio Grande flooded and went several directions at once during some of the floods. One of the channels of the flood of the Rio Grande went down what is now perhaps Valley Drive, or down Alameda to the downtown, or El Paseo Road, down that area there. So the most used road back then, as I was told by several people, was Mesquite Street, since it's several feet higher than the other roads, and yet it was close to the Rio Grande water. When asked about the first road of New Mexico, I go with Las Cruces' Mesquite Street. It's a good bet that with the spring runoff of the Rio Grande, Don Juan de Oñate, the leader of the expedition, would have had the group of 400 travel near the river, but on the eastern bank. And we know what we know because there was a published book about this. It was published in Mexico City, Historia de la Nuevo México, written by the expedition captain Gaspar Perez de Vargas. And he's the one that wrote all about this, and that's the best we can do because it was his eyes 420-some-odd years ago. There's one more New Mexico connection going back to Don Juan de Oñate. In 1604, he was leader of a party that went west from our area, and he found a towering cliff that we now call Inscription Rock, partially because of him. The party traveling was attracted to this spring and pond, nice water, and it was under a sandstone cliff. It's now known as El Morro National Monument. Back in 1604, there were not many names carved on the sandstone face, and over the years, lots of names have been added. Don Juan de Oñate, or perhaps one of his soldiers, carved this message with a sword that's still there 420 years later. Here it is. I, Don Juan de Oñate, paso por aquí. What it said in Spanish was, I, Don Juan de Oñate, passed by here. When Oñate High School was opened in 1998, on the 400th anniversary of Don Juan de Oñate passing by here in Las Cruces, I tried to get the administration to designate this long hallway into an open area as the Oñate area, where each year the graduating class would have each graduate note. An example would be, I, Michael Swickard, passed by here. Because that's the way we do. We pass by, and then years later, no, I couldn't convince them, and now there's no chance. They changed their name. I still go by my old high school in Alamogordo, New Mexico, where I graduated in 1968, a very long time ago, I know, and I've thought to write on one of the walls, "I, Michael Swickert, passed by here," because I did. Perhaps I will now that we have settled the Mesquite Street in Las Cruces as the first and continuing the first continuing street in this state. Michael Swickert here with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico. You can hit subscribe to automatically get the podcast. I want to talk a little history about the Roswell Museum on North Richardson Avenue in Roswell, New Mexico. That's not to be confused with the International UFO Museum and Research Center on North Main Street in Roswell. I'll speak of this group one of these days. Back to the Roswell Museum, where you can see an actual moon rock. No, it isn't a nice-looking rock that looks like the moon when you look up at the moon. It is a rock brought to Earth from Apollo 17 flight to the moon. The display is a tribute to Robert Goddard, the father of rocket propulsion, and also to Apollo 17 lunar module. He was the lunar module pilot, Harrison Smith, who was born near Silver City, New Mexico. Astronaut Smith was the only geologist to walk on the moon, and his awareness of unique rock formations on the moon was quite important. The moon rock at the Roswell Museum is next to a piece of the New Mexico flag that was aboard the Apollo 17 capsule to the moon. Good place to go and see all this stuff. I've spoken about Robert Goddard and Harrison Smith previously in early podcasts. Now, Roswell was attractive to Robert Goddard because of the wide open spaces. Now, that's something I enjoy, allowing my eyes to wander a long way. But he wanted wide open spaces for his rockets to come back down to Earth after being fired and not causing a big problem with his neighbors. You see, he lived on a Massachusetts farm in 1926 when his first liquid fuel rocket took off, whoom, and flew successfully for a couple seconds and then landed in a cabbage patch, not doing much harm. Not so other rockets, which caused his neighbors to urge him to move somewhere else. And he did. He found Roswell with miles and miles of sagebrush and little else to destroy when those rockets came back down. His research was vital to going to the moon, and he and his team ended up with a couple hundred patents for that rocket stuff he was doing, and we did go to the moon. Let's talk about the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces, New Mexico. They sponsored these New Mexico History and Culture podcasts. Something great is happening. I'm not kidding. The chili crop is planted. Isn't that great? What is the best way to get your chili all lined up? It's the way I'm doing. You can pre-order the 2024 Veritol Special Reserve Big Jim. That's what I'm going to get. Or you can get the Sandia Special Hatch Chopped Green Chili or Big Jim or Sandia Select Hatch Enchilada Sauce. You can pre-order all these. And as quickly as this year's crop of Veritol Special Reserve chili peppers, after they're picked and processed, the jars of these wonderful sauces will be sent right to you. Now, the 2024 onion crop is doing very well. And soon you'll be able to get some of those great sweet onions. Boy, I sure like them. Now, if you want to get that great onion taste today, we have Hatch Sweet Onion Dressing. Now, everybody knows Hatch Valley is renowned for its chili, but did you know it grows some of the sweetest onions in the world? It's true. Onions from the Hatch Valley and surrounding area are as sweet as any of the other well-known varieties, which I know you know their names. And it's all good. This dressing, this Hatch Sweet Onion Dressing, combines these onions, avocado oil, and our own very own Hatch Chili Dijon Mustard. The Hatch Sweet Onion Dressing, it's so good you can marinate with it, baste with it. And what I do is I douse my salads with it, and you can put it on fruit. It's all very, very good. One thing that happens when people live in Las Cruces or they come by here, they can go by the Fresh Chili Company Gift Shop at 1160 El Paseo Road, Suite D7. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can come and look at all these things. This is Michael Swickard with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, brought to you by the Fresh Chili Company. Thank you for your time today. We'll always have lots of news and stories about New Mexico. If you have something or someone you want me to talk about, write to me, michael@freshchilico.com. michael@freshchilico.com. Have a great rest of your day. Oh, yes, and eat plenty of that good Hatch Valley chili. Like I always say, some chili's good, more is better, as long as it's Hatch Valley chili.